This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it.
Right now, it's 12:35. We're actually going to get to our favorite features, right? Which is called Future Beats, right? And we're going to be having a very special person on the line, right? And I'm just going to introduce him a little bit. I mean, what a thesis of kind of achievements he's had, should I call it. So we're going to be speaking to Kanyiso Madlala, right? And he is a clinical psychologist. He's also an LGBTQI plus affirmative therapist. And he kind of is interested in areas in terms of practice and academia in sexuality and gender diversity. And he's also affiliated with the Psychological Society of South Africa and part of the Sexuality and Gender Division of the LGBTQI plus Human Rights Project. And Kanyiso, a warm welcome to you to that lunch show.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on air today.
It's lovely to have you indeed. So I just want to say that it's World Mental Health Day actually today, right? And I want you to kind of, I feel like it's always important to kind of explain. So how can we describe how mental health affects people and what mental illness is, right? So somebody who maybe does not know, can you just kind of touch or kind of briefly explain that?
So thank you for that question. I think for some time now I've been doing these interviews on differentiating between mental health and mental illness.
Yes.
Because people always struggle to differentiate those two terms.
Indeed.
So I'm not going to look at mental health, I'm just going to go straight to mental illness. And in this case, when we speak about mental illness, we're speaking about obviously negative changes in cognitive and emotional functioning of an individual.
Mm.
And mental illnesses I have to be diagnosed by a licensed and trained professional. Now, obviously, we don't have time and space to discuss all the different mental illnesses that we have,
yeah,
which range to the thousands, actually, if you think about it. But some of the more common mental illnesses that we have seen, especially within the South African population, would be issues like your depression, your anxiety, your substance abuse, or normally commonly known as addiction.
Mm.
Post-traumatic stress disorder and all those. So that's what we normally see amongst the adult population. So that's what we're speaking about when we speak about mental illnesses, is those diagnosable psychological and psychiatric conditions.
All right. I feel like as well, I've also kind of now learned how to differentiate those, right? But now we want to actually speak about mental illness in the workplace, right?
Mm.
So how would that affect people in the workplace in general? Mm. Let's say someone with a mental illness, how does that affect them generally in terms of work, maybe their productivity? How can you get us through that?
So I think this is quite important to look at it, because the average South African spends at least 8 hours of their day in the workplace when they're employed.
Mm.
So it's quite important to look at how does poor mental health or mental illness then come into play when you're looking at the relationship between the individual and the workplace.
Mm.
Now, if you're looking at an individual at work who is struggling from mental illness, it could be any form of mental illness, or it could be any form of psychological disorder. It could be a depression, it could be your anxiety, it could be a trauma, it could be a substance abuse. What we see, or what the typical outcomes then of poor mental health in the workplace, would be your decreased productivity in the workplace, because and this is linked to poor motivation. And we do know that individuals who are struggling with mental illness, they have lessened or decreased motivation to wake up, to go to work, to do their tasks. So if a person has poor motivation, then obviously it is expected that their productivity is going to decrease. So this is number one. We see increase in sick-related absenteeism, for a very long time now, if you're looking at different studies that have been done in the area of mental health and mental illness, there is a very strong link between poor mental health or mental illness and physical illnesses, your medical illnesses.
Yes.
So if a person is consistently depressed or anxious, that negatively affects their immune system. It lowers their defenses against mental illnesses. So that's why you find that if you're chronically stressed, you are at risk of, being sick, having a common flu most of the time, more than the general population, having your infectious disease, your bronchitis, your throat infection, all of those things. So if people then are stressed, they are more likely to experience physical illnesses, and if people are sick, it means they can't go to work. So you are seeing that, you know, loss of day, of days at work or productivity in the workplace because people are normally sick. Work, obviously, if you're looking at all those factors, we're looking at poor work quality, and also looking at compromised work safety, because if a person is struggling with mental illness, it affects their concentration abilities at work. For those who are working with machinery or difficult objects, then it compromises their awareness and their alertness, abilities to be alert of, you know, is there danger here? Am I going to cause danger, you know, with this equipment? So those are some of the things that we see in the workplace that, you know, affects the overall productivity in the workplace.
And can you I want to go back to what you said, maybe increased levels of stress or the environment kind of causing that anxiety, right? With that happening, and then obviously maybe developing a mental illness, or I don't know if I'm saying the right way, the mental illness, but like, can somebody be fired for that, right? Can somebody kind of let go, like, you know what, you're not really as productive as possible, so we have to let you go? Can that happen? Is it right for it to happen?
So that's quite a tricky question.
Yeah.
And I think answering this, I'm going to start with what the World Health Organization has said. And, you know, they have said that, you know, in the year, between the year 2020 and the year 2030, depression as a mental illness will be the leading cause of disability. So we're starting to look, we're shifting our focus now and saying, you know, having mental illness is part, is also a form of disability. Because it severely limits the individual's ability to engage in productive activities. So if you're thinking about mental illness in that light, then, you know, you can not really get fired from the workplace, because those would be the grounds of discrimination.
Yes.
They can't fire you from having a mental illness per se. But again, there are certain factors, you know, that, you know, we have to also work around. And if you're looking at, I'm going to model this on the U.S. legislation. If you're looking at the U.S. legislation, one cannot be fired from the workplace from having a mental illness. But what are some of the factors that, you know, have to be considered then? You know, does this person then pose an increased risk to the to other employees in the workplace? So let us take a general example. For example, a person who drives, you know, machinery, or who controls dangerous machinery as their occupation, and that person has a substance abuse problem. We know that addiction or substance abuse is a form of mental illness. If that person then comes to work intoxicated or high, do they then pose danger to other people in the workplace?
Yes, okay.
And if that person poses danger, what reasonable steps have been taken by the employer to ensure that that person has been provided with adequate intervention to address that? So I think the employer will then have to show, this person presented with these difficulties, and these steps were taken to ensure this person received adequate health or intervention. And if all that fails, then, you know, what else are we left with? You know, do we let this person go? Do we keep this person, although they pose danger to themselves and potentially to other people in the workplace? So this is a very tricky, you know, situation to navigate. And I mean, I don't think there is a clear, straightforward answer to say, you know, do
this
that
is how we do
go
it
or not. But looking at all the intricate factors that then play out as a result of the mental illness.
Yes, and I mean, it goes without saying that we definitely need to have awareness, right, of mental health or mental illnesses in general. So with workplaces, right, do companies, or should I say the human resources, have a sort of responsibility to support employees with mental health? And also just in the general, as maybe a workmate or a colleague, so how do we also support those with mental health illnesses, right? So it goes without saying that, yes, we need to be aware of it, but how do we go about supporting them as colleagues? But is there also a rightful responsibility by management, such as human resources, as or the company as a whole, to have responsibility in taking care or supporting employees with mental health?
So, you know, if you're looking at mental illness, and I think over the years, you know, this concept, or there has been a strong realization that, you know, mental illness negatively impacts the individual's work life or work quality and their quality of life, same way as your physical illnesses would. So if we're looking at mental illness within that perspective, then the answer is absolutely yes. So human resources and workplaces have a responsibility to ensure that they promote mental health in the workplace. And they have a responsibility of managing then mental illness in the workplace. So, I mean, if you're looking at all companies, they would have your disease management plan. If a person is sick, how do we intervene? If he has to go for surgery, you know, what are steps that are taken to ensure that this person is supported? So this very same disease management plan that needs to be applied to people who are struggling with mental illness. If a person is struggling from depression or anxiety or trauma and they're not coping in the workplace, what necessary steps have to be taken? Do the workplaces create a network with psychologists and psychiatrists and GPs to say, okay, this is our network that we're going to work with. We're going to refer to these people for maybe diagnostics or assessment intervention. Do we refer to a rehabilitation center if there's need for admission? So those are some of the things that need to be incorporated by HR divisions and by companies into their disease management work plan. These are the steps that we'll take to ensure that we assist people who are struggling for mental illness. So yes, they are responsible and they have to implement those kinds of plans. And if we're looking at, you know, your other question of how do we then support a colleague who is struggling for mental illness, you know, my response to that would be, let us rather maybe play a more proactive role. And when I say a proactive role, I'm talking about encouraging people in organizations and companies to create this organizational culture where people can feel free to speak about their emotional cognitive difficulties. If the general culture in the workplace is about stigmatizing mental illnesses, calling people by sign, all those things, if this is the language used in the workplace of this stigmatization and discrimination and othering, then, you know, people, when they struggle with depression or anxiety, they're not going to feel comfortable and safe to say to their colleagues, you know what, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with anxiety, I can't sleep, I'm seeing things, I'm hearing things. They won't be in a comfortable position to say that. So I think being proactive enough and creating that organizational culture where people can safely speak about these things.
Yes.
And when they do speak about these things, creating an environment where they can be listened and heard without being judged or marginalized or othered.
Most definitely.
I think this is what, you know, organizations can do, because sometimes people don't, you know, they don't want to speak about what they're going through. So it's going to be very difficult for you to go and say to colleagues, tell them what you're going through. But if the culture is conducive, then, you know, the mere fact that the culture is conducive and people are supportive will go a long way with regard to that person.
So just to kind of wrap it up, right, I want to kind of flip the coin, right? So let's actually say the workplace is the one contributing to your mental illness, right? So not necessarily that maybe you had developed it from maybe something that's happened in your past or maybe something in your personal life. What if it's something in the workplace that's contributing to your mental illness? What should happen? What's the message you can send to that person? Like, you know what? This is what you should do.
So, you know, when we look from that perspective, we really need to look at it from the organizational perspective, because if the workplace is the cause of, you know, the emotional difficulty, then the only way that, you know, we can alleviate that employee's emotional difficulties is by changing the entire organizational culture or how the organization is functioning. So I think from the looking at it from that perspective, we'll see how can we change the organization? How can we eliminate these factors, maybe the stigma, the discrimination, how can you eliminate how, you know, the bosses interact with the employees? But, you know, the difficult thing from that perspective is the employee, him or herself or they, do not have power then of changing that. So it is up to, you know, the senior management to change the way that the organization functions. It's their prerogative then to promote a conducive work culture that employees, you know, can feel comfortable working in.
Oh, yes.
So it's looking from that perspective. And then what we can do for the individual is to work with the individual in terms of giving them, you know, effective coping tools or coping strategies to be able to cope with what is happening in their lives. You know, the therapy, your physical activities, eating healthy, reducing drug intake, maintaining positive connections. We can work, we can empower the individual to be able to cope with the stressors at work. But the problem with that is that, you know, if the stressor continues, so this person is consistently exposed to the same stressor, then, you know, it becomes very difficult because it feels like we're working, you know, counteractively to what we're trying to do with the colleagues. If we are empowering them, but their bosses are continuously putting them down, it cancels out most of the effort. So the effort is about, you know, helping the individual, but also promoting an organizational culture that is going to be conducive for the individual.
Oh, so much. Thank you so much. So much. So much you have said and so much to definitely unpack. And these are conversations we like to have, right? Kind of creating that awareness and not shying away from what's really happening. That's the reality of, right, of what's happening in the workplaces. So thank you so much, Kanyiso, for coming and kind of like opening those tin of beans that need to be spilt, right? So thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much.
Have a good afternoon.
Same to you.
So that was Kanyiso, let me get his name right, Kanyiso Madala, who came over, right? He's a clinical psychologist and also part of the Sexuality and Gender Diversity, Psychology Society of South Africa, and just kind of open up that tin of beans. When I say tin of beans, it's mental illnesses, right? But mental illnesses in the workplace. So kind of saying how we can support as colleagues, how companies or management can also go about in supporting people who suffer from mental illness. I mean, it is World Mental Health Day today, and we have been celebrating Mental Health Month in general. So thank you so much, Kanyiso. And so if you want us to carry those conversations, right, we can still have them on Twitter. It's at VowFM and use hashtag That Lunch Show, and kind of also share maybe your experiences about how it's been for you. Maybe suffering from a mental illness, or maybe you know someone, maybe ways that we can also kind of implement our strategies and ideas to support people with mental illnesses.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream via www.vofm.co.za.